Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning? Would it be okay if I took this and brought it down there? Is that all right with you? All right.
Well, about this time.
Well, I bring you greetings on behalf of the Association of the Churches of God in Oregon and Southwest Washington. We have a total of 51 congregations in our district, and we comprise of two different states. We have four churches in Washington, and then we have the other 57 here in Oregon. Our churches go as far north as Longview, Washington, as far south as Klamath Falls, as far east as LeGrand, as far west as Bandon, Oregon. So when I go visit my parishioners, sometimes it takes me days to get there instead of just hours or minutes, because it's a long drive to LeGrand and to Klamath Falls and places like that. So I'm excited to be here with you, and I'm kind of stalling until they get the PowerPoint fired up. You know, we love technology, and we want to strangle technology sometimes. While he's doing that, let me tell you, I'm father of three kids, Laura, Ryan, and Rebecca. Laura's married to Jess, and they're pastoring a church here in Portland. Ryan is married to Robin, and you're the first church I get to say this to, but Ryan and Robin are expecting their second child, and so we are just excited as all get out. And so that's, we're aiming for April the 8th, and so that'll be number 5 for me for grandchildren. Now, I know you're looking at me going, he can't be that old to have 5 grandkids. And, well, thank you. Anyway, and then our youngest, Rebecca, she is a senior, I can't believe that, at Warner Pacific College, and she's headed off to the mission field. And she wants to go to Myanmar. That is Burma, the old Burma. She spent 5 weeks there this year teaching English as a second language. And so she is one excited puppy about that. Ah, there we go. What to take on your journey? Life is a journey, is it not? In fact, a life with Jesus is a real special journey. In fact, you know, we preachers, we complicate things so much. We really do. We make things so tough on you guys, so you think you have to have us in your life. Jesus simply said, follow me. Isn't that simple? He said, obey my commandments and love each other and follow me. I think really, really smart people can make things sound real simple. They kind of boil it all down to the real nitty-gritty. So I'm going to use some metaphors today and use some illustrations that I hope that you will understand and realize that life with Jesus is pretty simple, and it's not as complicated as we try to make it out to be. And even one of the most complicated illustrations that we have in the New Testament is really a very simple illustration. But before I do that, I want to give you a 25,000 view of the church, foot view, elevational view of the Church of God. First of all, our theme for this year is a hope and a future. You saw this at our Oregon State camp meeting. I hope and pray that all of you were able to be there for that experience. That was a great experience. And the big question is, where are we going to meet next year? And only Jesus knows for sure right now. And so pray for us as we kind of work on that. We might be here. Who knows? We'll come here and put all the campers out there. And it'll be tight, but it'll be okay. I have the privilege of serving on a national committee right now. And it's our national theme is transforming the culture by being the body of Christ. Now, my job is to serve the local congregations in our district. We call him a general director, and his name is Dr. Ron Duncan, and his job is to serve the whole national movement. And he has given us 5 goals, And the last time we met with him on this goals, we said, you know, Dr. Duncan, they are goals, but they should be values. They should be things that every one of our Church of God congregations, that's the DNA of them. And I want to share them with you and their fancy way of doing that. The first one is ignite, to revitalize the Great Commission in the life of every individual, church, and agency. Now, what's an agency? And Warner Pacific is an agency. The Board of Pensions is an agency. Church Builders Plus is an agency. Those, the national leaders, every one of our colleges, Warner Press, those are our agencies. And we have lack of a better term to call them collectively. So every one of those, we want the Great Commission. And do you know what the Great Commission is? Can you remember that? All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus is speaking here, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So evangelism, telling people about Christ, needs to be our DNA. The second one is permeate. And that is where we engage every individual, church, and agency in the Great Commandments. Remember what the Great Commandments are? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and all of your mind. This is a first and greatest commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. All of the prophets, the scripture goes on and say, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the Great Commission and the Great Commandment to tell people about Jesus, to love people in the name of Jesus. Then the third one is called free, and that is committing to a stewardship principles that lead to a flexible ministry future and the management of debt. And that is so complicated the way he said that. That really is what we hope and pray that every one of our people who sit in the pews and every one of our churches and every one of our churches will be debt-free. Interest is killing us, folks. Interest is killing us. It's the buy now and pay forever plan. There are several programs that we're recommending. One is the Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey stuff, Financial Peace. Another is Crown Ministry. Connie and I have taken the Dave Ramsey stuff, and we are, except for the computer that I bought this last week, I haven't had a chance to pay for it off my credit card, we are debt-free except for our home.
Amen.
Yeah. It works. You got to work it like a dog, but it works. You too can be debt-free. And if you go through the Church of God website, you can get the $300 video kit program free if you have 10 couples who sign up to be a part of this and pay $100 to do that. It's a lifetime membership type thing. But let me tell you, you can be debt-free. If you want to be debt-free, talk to me later, and I'll help you guys get hooked up with that. Cultivate is the next one that we want to talk about, and that is nurturing the spiritual gifts in every person, every individual, church, and agency. Every one of you, if you're a believer, God has given you a very special spiritual gift you can use for the kingdom. And the last one is refresh, and that is restoring efforts towards relational connectivity. There he goes again, using those big words. And identity for every individual, agency, and church. In other words, just get along with one another. Reconciliation, love, peace, all that good stuff. These are the five hallmarks that we want, values that we, our desire that every Church of God congregation have. When you cut them, we want them to bleed these five values. Well, let's talk about today a little bit. You see this thing up here. This, ladies and gentlemen, is my bicycle. Ooh. To the untrained eye, it's just a bike. But to the trained eye, you will tell that this is a custom-made bicycle. They took 8 measurements off me. They took 5 off my old bike. They went to the computer. They plugged all the numbers in, and they created the plans for this bike. And then a welder, very good welder. If you look at the welds, if you're a welder, very good welder, went together and welded all the pieces together. Connie and I got to pick out the color of the paint. My name cost me $45. But my name is right over here on this side, Dave Shrout. So my name is on my bike. It is a co-motion bike. I will not tell you how much it cost, but I'll tell you it's cheaper than a bass fishing boat. It's cheaper than your motorhomes and your RVs, but it's more expensive than any bike you'll find at Kmart. Okay? This particular bike, I've ridden more than 6,000 miles. You guys are getting it. I like you guys. In fact, in the last 13 years, I have ridden more than, drum roll, and the answer is 26,000 miles. That is the circumference of the globe. Plus, I love riding. Somebody asked me if I rode this morning to church. I had thought about it, but I'd have to leave at 2 a.m. to get here on time. But the wind was great. It would be at my back. So, but every morning, except Sundays, and if Connie goes to school and works this afternoon, by the way, do pray for school teachers. They put in so many more hours than they ever get paid for. She's been working for 3 weeks and only get paid for one of them. She'll probably go there this afternoon, and she'll be there tomorrow on Labor Day, laboring. And what I'll be doing, if she goes to school, then I'm going to be on my trainer. I typically get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I ride 90 minutes on my trainer. Let's see what, let's go to the next one. I'll show you what a trainer looks like. Keep going. See, that's what a trainer looks like. You put your bike on that. Kind of like a treadmill for a bike. And somebody, I was talking yesterday, I went to Aaron Walton's wedding. Almost said funeral. Isn't that been a Freudian slip? I went to his wedding yesterday. He married a delightful young lady. And somebody asked me, what do you do for 90 minutes? And I have this TV, and I have a VCR player or a DVD player, and I'm okay, I'll be transparent. I'm watching Stargate Atlantis, the series. The first season. See, I started the beginning. I've done Stargate the whole seasons, all of them. So I am a Trekkie. You know, I grew up on Star Trek and all the good stuff. Well, let me tell you some of the rides I've done. You didn't know that about me, huh? I'm a Trekkie, man. Live long and prosper, yeah. All right, let's go to the next slide, and you'll see this is the history of my touring. I've ridden from Canada to Mexico along the Pacific coast. I've ridden the Oregon Trail. Had to create that route myself. I've ridden the Oregon coast a couple times. Astoria to Mexico last summer. The Lewis and Clark Trail, actually just the first and last third, because the wind, I gave up in the middle. The winds were 25 to 35 mile an hour sustained with gusts of 50. And I did that for 3 days. Against me. With me, I'd been smiling. That'd been great. But I was riding along the Missouri River, and I just called Connie, and I said, honey, the thrill is gone. And I do what I do best. I networked, and I got a ride. I figured out how to get home, and I flew home from Bismarck, North Dakota. Got a ride to Bismarck. And when I got home, I was going to meet guys in Missoula, and they hadn't left yet. And they said, well, come with us. And so I did, and the last 1,000 miles was just as horrible as the first 1,000 were. The last were as great. It was wonderful. So let's see, what else have I done? I've ridden across America, Yorktown, Virginia to Florence, Oregon. That's 3,800 miles. Next, I've done the East Coast. Last 07, I did from Miami to Portland, Maine. And I'll show you this plan here in a second. From Albany to Canada, about 475 miles, done that twice. And next I've got, this January. I have a meeting in Orlando the second week in January. So the first week in January, I'm going to fly to Key West, Florida. And you know all those bridges and roads that connect all the islands together? I'm going to ride on all of those all the way to Orlando. It'll be about 400 miles. It'll take me about a week to do that. So we'll have a picture here that you can see. And this is what a couple looks like when they're on tour. This is very, very similar to what I look like when I'm on tour. I don't have all of my gear with me, but up here I have a lot of tents, sleeping bags, that kind of stuff. And I could, but no, I won't do that here in church. The Astoria to Mexico trip, go to the next slide, that's what a map kind of looks like. Each one of those are the nights that we spend the road. So it took us about 3 weeks to do that. It takes about a week to do 500 miles, and this is about a 1,500-mile trip. So we went along the coast of California. We ran into some big sewer was on fire, so they closed 101 south of San Francisco. So we had to go inland to 101, and right on south. So that was in 08, 1,400 miles. And I had Steve Hoover from Redmond, our pastor there, and a layman from the Albany Church, Brian Drager, and then myself. We rode that. This summer, I took another little trip from Albany to Sumas, Washington. And that was for a family reunion. And the map, just blow on through there, because the map will come up here in a second. There you go. Back. There. See, that's the map. And that's, it took us about, we took 8 days to do it. We didn't have to, but we did. It was kind of fun. Connie drove the sag wagon. Sag wagon is the support vehicle that follows the tour. A lot of big tours have several sag wagons, and what we did is we took out all the back seats of our van, and that was our RV, and we slept in that, and we had breakfast and lunch out of that, then we'd go out to dinner every night. And when I do the coast, Oregon coast, you're welcome to come with me, and I'll be doing it again sometime. Connie says I could do that every summer. And because she antiques along the way, goes all the antique shops. And she doesn't buy a lot, but she just enjoys looking. All right. Now, I have kind of set all this up to tell you this story. There was a man by the name of Paul. He got in trouble with the law for telling people about Jesus. And one of the prison epistles, I believe, is the book of Ephesus, writing to the church at Ephesus. And so this guy is in jail for Christ. I've never been arrested because I've been a believer. In fact, as an adult, I've never had any persecution for being a believer. High school, yeah. But as an adult, no. They look at me, and as an adult, they respect my belief. And in this culture, you should not hide your salvation because it is respected that you believe in something. So don't ever, ever hide it. Paul was writing, and he wanted to help his people figure out that there are some basic things they have to take along with them in this thing, this journey that Jesus has asked us. Remember, he said, follow me, obey my commandments, and love people. That very simple thing that Jesus has asked us to do. And so in this whole process, I can just see the Apostle Paul. I've never read this in a book. I just kind of put all this together. So if I'm really off base, forgive me. But I kind of think Paul was a good communicator. He wanted to communicate with the people who were going to read this. He wanted to give them six things to remember. And he thought, what kind of metaphor can I give them so they will remember what I'm going to tell them? And all of a sudden he figured out that we remember better by memory association. You're going to remember this sermon the day that Pastor Dave brought his bike to church. And if I rode around here in circles, you would really remember the day that Pastor Dave brought his bike and rode it in church. My mother would roll over in her grave if I rode my bike in the church. I can't do that. Because it is a visual hook that you will hang on to. Now, Paul was sitting there in jail, and he probably looked over and he saw this Roman guard, and a Roman army personnel had particular clothes that they wore all the time. Now, also have to remember that Paul grew up and worshiped a lot and worked a lot in a place where people did not always like the Romans. They were an occupying army. They came in and they destroyed Jerusalem and then went back to Rome and built this great arch of triumph for General Titus to march under. And it's still in Rome today. They did not like them, but Paul knew that they would know what he's going to talk about when he started to give some illustrations for them to hang on to, because they understood what a Roman guard looked like. Okay? So now, grab your Bibles. With that as a backdrop, I want you to read with me Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Actually, we're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. 20. We're going to read a lot. Okay, just listen as I read. You can follow up there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and put on his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take the stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Is that not our culture today, boys and girls? Is that not where we live? Therefore, verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, then stand firm with, and here comes the metaphor, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the gospel, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Ephesians 16. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. Can you just see him looking over at the guard over there? He's got that shield. The shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all the saints. Verse 19, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will be fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I should declare it fearlessly as I should. So I want you to see yourself as Paul for a few minutes here. And we're going to do something that we don't normally do in our culture. We're going to meditate on a verse. We're going to have, in just a second, she's going to hit this button and there should be some music playing. And if not, that's okay. But the verse is, I put up here, put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes. And I want you to think about it. I want you to roll it over in your mind and your heart. And I want it to become real for you. So look up, press the button, and see what happens. No music, that's okay. Let's be in silence. And I'll time us. Now, I would encourage you to take up this spiritual gift or habit of taking a verse and meditating on it. You can come up here and look at this is my map pouch, and I put maps in here. And whenever I go on tour, I always put a scripture in here, one per day, never memorize it. But what I do is I look at it, meditate on it, and think about it all day long. I'm sitting like this, looking over it the entire day. And I will spend anywhere from 6+ hours sitting on this seat, pedaling down the road, making sure cars don't hit me. It only happened one time. And I meditate on the Word. I pray that you really took me seriously when you did that, because there are some things that I want to tell you about this metaphor that Paul came up with to help us figure out what to do. The very first thing he talked about was the belt of truth. Well, now, as a cyclist, I don't have belts. But I do wear spandex. Can you believe that? I wear spandex. The belt of truth. So I'm going to call this belt of truth, my cycling shorts. And these are... See, the belt of truth that Paul talked about was a belt that they wrapped around their waist, the military men did, and which gave them freedom of mobility to be able to maneuver quickly. This pair of pants, this has built into the back of it pads so it doesn't hurt that hard, that much. Now, let me tell you, it will hurt. It always hurts. It never stops hurting whenever you're riding. But it feels a whole lot better than without them, let me tell you. And I pay good money for good pants because when you're on it 6 to 8 hours a day, you'll be happy you spent good money to do that. So this is going to be our belt of truth that we've wrapped around ourselves to make us strong so we can move quickly and clearly. Well, the other thing that Paul, in his metaphor, he said, put a breastplate of righteousness. As I read that, I thought that'd be natural. That breastplate is made out of brass or some kind of alloy that they used in those days. And that was to protect them from all sorts of things, from rocks, from arrows, from bows. We watch movies of that time period, and they only show 1/10 of the military equipment that they used to kill each other with. If you go on the History Channel and do some of that kind of stuff, you'll see exactly what they wear, far more than that. But for my illustration today, I brought a cycling shirt. I want you, first of all, to notice the color. This is bright in your face yellow. Since I got hit on my bike, all of my clothes are bright in your face yellow or red. You don't want to ride any place without people being able to. Don't ever ride with black shirts on. All right? Don't ever do that. Wear something bright and white and light so people can see you. This is a great protection tool. And when you talk about this breastplate of righteousness, that right living, being right, you see, one of the great things about not lying is you don't have to remember your lies. You can remember the truth pretty easy, but the lies you have a hard time remembering, keeping them straight. Who did I tell this to? Who knew this? Who knew that? So you just tell the truth all the time. And if you're in trouble, you just take your licks, be in trouble, and then you will heal up a whole lot faster than if you keep lying about it. Because one lie creates another. Right living is the same way, this righteousness. Well, the other thing he talked about is fitted feet. When I looked at that, I thought, that's pretty weird. But, you know, you and I wear shoes all the time. But there are cultures in which you don't wear shoes. And in the first century, shoes were a luxury. They were something that only rich people wore. And do you know what the oldest shoe in recorded history is? The flip-flop. On the wedding I went to yesterday, all the groomsmen and the groom wore flip-flops, black flip-flops. And I went to a wedding 2 weeks ago, and I didn't see what the ladies wore yesterday. They wear flip-flops too. Lindsay's wedding, all the ladies wore flip-flops because our daughter was in that. At least they didn't dance down the aisle when they left. That's being fitted for righteous, for being fitted with shoes is important. Now, as a cyclist, I wear these kind of shoes. See these little clips right here? These will actually clip into my pedals of my bike. And that allows me not only to push down, but allows me to pull up. And so when Paul talked about being fitted, let's go back and read that scripture again. Make sure that I'll just go back and read the scripture. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. To be ready to be involved in ministry at any time. To be ready to move forward. Okay? That's what the shoes stand for. Now, he also talked about maps. Well, excuse me. He talked about the shield of faith. Well, I had trouble with the shield of faith. That shield is something that protects you. They used to have arrows that they would dip in a tar and shoot those. And the Roman shield was a two-layer shield. And it was designed to protect, for that arrow to go in the front part, but not through the second part. It's a two-layer kind of. And it would take those arrows and hold them, and then you would not be injured by that. Most time there'd be flaming arrows. But the other thing about the Romans, and I didn't create this, I need a volunteer. Who would like that? Will you volunteer? Come over here and help me. This stand. Let's see, I have to remember how this works. Stand over here, I think. The shield, you would cover your friend, not yourself. And then you would have your lance right here. And so you're now, this guy to my left is covering me, and I'm covering him. That's how, thank you. That's how the military men, that's how they use that shield. Well, in my way of thinking, maps are a great way of keeping me safe. And I use all sorts of maps. When I go on tour, I'll buy a map called Adventure Cycling. They put out these maps, and they're waterproof. I will buy a map from the state of Oregon, and then I'll buy a, this is Washington, I don't have an Oregon map with me, but I'll also buy one of these maps as well. And I use them to track out my route. And I'm always looking at my maps. My daughter, Laura, Rebecca and I went to Germany and rode 300 miles in the back roads of Germany. It took us 2 weeks to do that. Now, it doesn't take 2 weeks to ride 300 miles, but with Rebecca, it does. And she said, Dad, you love maps. I'm just going to buy you a big one for your birthday, for Christmas. That's fine. The other one, he also said, see, he told us about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted, the shield of faith. He talked about the sword of the Spirit. I always carry with me on tour, I always carry a Bible. Always carry a Bible. This is a testament of John that I found on the side of the road. But I have another Bible that I always carry. So I can do my devotions, and I can be ready to be involved in ministry. I carry bottles of fresh water that are unbroken. The seal is unbroken. And it's amazing how many people in cars get stranded along the side of the road and need water. And you come up and you hand them a bottle of water. I do that all the time. And it's just a hoot. They think, how did you ever think about that? And so it's just lots of fun to do that. But the sword of truth, the sword of the Spirit, in his generation and in our generation is the Word of God. And if that's not a part of the implements that we carry when we are on this journey, then we're in big trouble. Not only should we have copies at our home, but it should be something we read and are a part of. And the last thing is the helmet. The helmet of salvation. This is my bicycle helmet. I spend good money for helmets. And I really look funny wearing it. Honey, no girls ever flirt with me when I'm wearing my helmet. It just doesn't. They don't flirt with me anyway. But, you know, I've been in one bicycle accident. See, my helmet is on correctly, by the way. If those of you have little kids, the helmet's got to cover the forehead here. And there are ways of adjusting these straps to keep them off your ears, and it's fitted tight so it doesn't come off. And if your kid has a loose helmet on, it doesn't do him any good. Because when he gets hit, he's going to be pushed, and the helmet's going to go back, and his head going to hit his head. As soon as he hits his head on the ground, his brains are scrambled. And he's a vegetable for the rest of his life. 2002, I was hit by a 1998 Ford Explorer, clipped me on the side here, threw me off my bike, broke two ribs, I lost my spleen, I spent 2 weeks in a hospital, almost full 2 weeks, trying to recover from that bike accident. During surgery, I lost 80% of my blood, and they cycled it back to me and gave me 3 units of somebody else's and 15 units of fluid. I was a pretty sick little boy and never knew it, but my head was okay because I wore my helmet. And that helmet, in the scripture here, they even talked about the helmet of salvation, that wonderful gift that Jesus gives us through knowing him as a personal Savior, salvation. See, ladies and gentlemen, sin doesn't start in the heart. You guys know that? Sin starts up here. Sin is really a battle for our mind, not our body. We just act it out with our body. But it all starts up here. See, I have absolutely no idea what you guys are thinking right now. Absolutely no idea. I'm not a mind reader. And even though people say they are, they're not. You can hide what's going on in your head except from God. He understands it all the time. He's intimate with you at all the time. And so the helmet of salvation makes a lot of sense to me, that we protect our mind. And we protect our mind by watching what we see, what we hear, where we go, what we come in contact with, what we get used to, what we don't get used to. That helmet of salvation is so powerful for us. We've really got to be careful with it and protect it and keep it on at all times and protect this mind. It's critical. We put things into it. It's amazing what you put into your mind. Psychologists tell us we never ever really forget anything. We might lose the ability to recall it or have trouble recalling it, but we don't ever lose that ability. Now, I learned that over 30 years ago in my psych class at Warner Pacific College. We can pull up things. I can tell you the emotions that I had when I walked out that Christmas morning and saw my very first bicycle that Santa brought me. We still believe in Santa at our house. We still, if you stop believing, he stops coming. So we all believe at our house. Want to end with one more cycle story, because the scripture talks about praying for one another. Go to the very last one. I've developed a prayer that I pray every morning when I get on my bike. When I'm on tour. Go back one more. There's that prayer. Ah, there. I want to tell you about this prayer. It has 5 points to it. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he's got like 4 points to his. I got 5 to mine. Not that I'm better, but I have more needs than Jesus did. I was in the backcountry of Georgia. And I met 3 guys. They were graduates of the University of Massachusetts and from Boston, I think, someplace in there. They were on the last fling before they all reported to work, and they were riding the East Coast as I was in 07. They were going south, and I was going north. And these 5 guys, we met at the campsite. We camped together, and here I am. I was a 55-year-old guy, and they're just young bucks. And they rode an average of 95 miles a day. When I was that age, I probably could do that. My age, I don't ride that. You know, 65 is a great long day for me, and I'm happy if I average that. Because that means some days are 50 and some days are 75 or 85. But I don't want to average 95. And so we all talked and we shared the night before, and the next morning we all got up, and I said, guys, I always say this prayer before I go. You want to pray with me? And then I just started praying. And these 3 guys stand around, they bowed their heads. And these are the 5 things I prayed for. I prayed for a connection with God every day, because I asked God to be with me. I pray for his protection. I pray for the connection before the protection. I pray for protection on the roads, because there's some very crazy people out there on the roads. There's some big trucks on the roads, and there's little old ladies driving motorhomes that scare me to death on the roads out there. I pray for direction. On every tour, except this last one, because I've done it before, but on every tour I've ever been on, I get lost. So you'll never go with me now, I'm sure. I always, except the Oregon coast, I can follow that one. Just keep the water to your right and you're okay. I pray for direction. I pray for strength. It's not easy to spend day after day sleeping on the ground, getting up the next morning, riding 70 miles, sleeping on the ground, getting up every morning and doing that. I used to think anybody could do this, but I don't believe that anymore. It takes a special mental ability to get up and do that. Many of you can. I pray for strength, and I also pray for a sound bike, that my bike doesn't fall apart. Paul said, pray for me. Pray that when I'm able to speak in front of people, that I speak boldly and fearlessly, and I tell people about the love, the good news that God, yes, the word gospel means good news, and that good news that you no longer have to fear the Lord, as the Old Testament said, but now that you can love the Lord. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul said on this journey, this very simple journey, relationship with Jesus Christ, he says, come and follow me, obey my commandments, and love people around you, and wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted for action, your spiritual, your shield of faith, your sword of the Spirit, and your helmet of salvation. And then, because wherever you go in this world, God has this world in his hands. He is in charge, regardless what you read in the Oregonian or the Democrat Herald or the Eugene Register or the New York Times. I don't care what you read or where you read it. God is still in charge. I don't care who stands up and declares something else. God smiles. He's still in charge. He is still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he always will be and always has been. So I ask you to develop a relationship with that person, to follow him, obey his commandments, and love people. Let's pray. Father, as we draw this service to a close, as we think about these six things that you've asked us to put in our lives, this belt of truth and this breastplate of righteousness and our feet fitted with the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, I pray, Father, that we will remember these things, maybe through the illustration here of a touring cyclist, but also, Father, we pray that we'll remember it so that we will do these six things with you every day and rely upon these for direction in our lives. Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us this morning to worship you. It's not every country that we get to do this, not every place that we can do it in this beautiful surroundings. And so, Father, we don't take it for granted, but we realize that you love us. So, Father, we are committing our lives to following you wherever you lead us to be, to go, to do whatever you want us to do, to be whoever you want us to be, for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus we pray. Amen.